What we're going to do is look at our specific hymnal. What I'm about to say would be true for many hymnals, including the last one we used and the many. But I want you to take this in your hand. This is the Trinity Psalter Hymnal. This is a newer hymnal, just a few years old. One of the reasons we picked it is because in the first 150 song selections, every one of the psalms is found at least one time. So if you turn toward the beginning, you will see a page that says Psalms. And way later, after Psalm selection 150C, there is a page called Hymns. So this is the Psalter, a list of psalms, hymnal. It has lots of historic hymns, and it has at least one selection for every psalm. Now, since we believe we are supposed to be singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, however it is we understand those three words, it includes David's psalms. Okay? So we don't need to argue that in detail for our purposes tonight. We want there to be the opportunity to sing the 150 psalms. And so that's what's here. You will notice for Psalm 1, Psalm 1 is done in a classic way in 1A and 1B. So that you know what psalm it is, it's 1. And because there's an A and a B, it means there's two different renditions and probably two different tunes with each of those renditions. Right? So, Psalm 2, well, there's a 2A and a 2B. Psalm 3, there's just one of it. Psalm 4, just one of it. Psalm, you go through. Now, that pattern follows all the way through for every one of the psalms with just a few exceptions. There are a few psalms that are so very short that they may be done 2, 3, 4, or 5 times. And there's, of course, one psalm, 119, that's so long that they don't expect us to sing all 176 verses. Some wicked song leader would then get to the end of that and would go, "One more time." That would be very bad. So it's broken up into the stanzas that follow the stanzas in the original Hebrew psalm. All right? And again, we could go into a lot more depth here, but that's what you've got in the beginning of this. That's why these are numbered differently than the hymns in the back. There are no A's and B's in the hymns in the back. But this way, if you're reading at home Psalm 23 in family worship, you can come to this hymn book and go to 23, and you know that it's going to be about Psalm 23. Now, you may not know the tune. You may find the words hard to understand or the meter difficult or whatever, but there is Psalm 23A and B and C, and you could pick one to learn. And it's especially useful if it's the same one you're singing in public worship, because then it reinforces each other. All right? So that's the psalm section. Many hymnals, like the old Trinity that we used to sing from, or the Baptist version of the Trinity, which many Reformed Baptist churches use, they have a limited number, quite a number, but a limited number of the psalms. They don't necessarily have everyone represented. And sometimes they are fairly far afield from the Old Testament psalm. And here, there's an attempt at sticking pretty closely with the Hebrew poetry. Now, obviously, it's not exact. Anytime you go from Hebrew to English or any language to any other language, there's not a word-for-word correspondence or anything like that. But there's an attempt at a fairly literal and narrow translation. There are some wonderful hymns, like A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, that are based on a psalm. There are actually quite a number that you didn't know you were singing a psalm, but you were, just because you learned it as a hymn. Those are in the back when they're looser or partial of the psalm, all right? So we've got the Psalter selections, then we have the hymns, which begin right after Psalm 150, selection C. Now, if you move to that page, and there's not a page number, there's no page numbers here, because you're going by psalm number or hymn number, right? So there's really not a need for page numbers, or at least they think so. I think sometimes it would be helpful. You'll notice on this page entitled Hymns that it's divided up first for use in public worship. Notice under hymns, the first section is worship. And here are elements of worship or topics so closely tied to public worship that that is where you're going to tend to use them. So you're going to tend to sing about the Lord's Day, well, during public worship. So there are some selections of that. There's morning and evening worship. There are hymns for the opening of worship. There are hymns about God's word and his law, which perhaps you would sing before you confess your sins, for example, or after you've done that. There's confession and repentance. Now you can use a psalm. You might sing, as we do, Psalm 32 or Psalm 51 or Psalm 6 or Psalm, what are some others that we sing for that regularly to try to reinforce it to you? Psalm 130, and there are others, right? But there are also hymns that we could sing after we've confessed our sins that show that we believe the gospel and the work of Jesus Christ is effective for us, right? There are hymns of gratitude and giving and stewardship, of profession of faith, of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the close of worship. Now, obviously, in a hymnal put together by a Paedo-Baptist communion, or two Paedo-Baptist church communions, we're probably not going to use some of those hymns. All right? There's actually one in there. They're all for infant sprinklings. But there's one in there that's not, and it's actually an excellent hymn. We don't know it. We ought to learn it. All right? It's one of the reasons we try to learn new hymns on Sunday evenings, because there are certain events in the life of a church that don't happen every Lord's Day that we want to sing at. Just like we might have a special time of getting together and singing toward the end of the year about the birth of Christ. Or we might have a day of prayer and fasting because of something that's happening in our nation, and there are certain psalms and hymns that we want to sing. Well, you're not likely, you know, to sing those every week, but you need to know them for when the time comes that they're appropriate. All right? Then there are hymns under certain headings, and I often use, when I know what the sermon's going to be, I often use this index to head me to a section to consider if any of these are, you know, well enough known by us, playable by our pianist, really suitable, on and on the list of criteria could go. But this is very helpful to me as the one in charge of this element of our worship. It's done in a certain order. God, the Trinity, God the Father, his works, Jesus Christ, the Spirit, the Church. You'll find this general order that follows the Apostles' Creed, or some, like in the Trinity hymnal, follows the confession or catechism. And so there's a certain order to it. And once you figure that out, there'll be certain places in there you'll know to go. The original Trinity hymnal, which I sang out of for probably 30 years, I used to just know, oh, well, that's hymn so-and-so, or this number, or that number. Well, may some of you sing out of this hymnal long enough to just know some of those things. Amen. You'll notice there are things not only about God and about sermon topics, but about the Christian life. Those are found here. And then again, some special occasions, things like ordination, marriage in the home, harvest and Thanksgiving, etc. All right? That's followed by short anthems or doxologies or benedictions or prayers that would be regularly used, again, in public worship, at least often. We tend to sing the doxology, the Gloria Patri, things like that, and that's from this section. They have some tunes that are well known, and you would recognize them, all right? So that's the organization, the categorization of the hymns. They try to have not too many on, you know, the saving work of Christ and none about the Trinity or assurance or Christian warfare. Right? They're trying to give you at least a few on every major subject so that whatever we're reading, whatever's being preached, whatever the topic or theme is, you've got something to sing. So it's just really, really helpful. And a well-organized hymn book does that. At the back of our hymnal are a number of creeds, confessions, and catechisms. Now, having used the Baptist version of the Trinity, these would have included the 1689 confession, for example. Well, this, again, is for a different Reformed congregation, and there are some things here that we would fully agree with. We love the canons of Dort. We're thankful for the Apostles' Creed. You know me, I love the Heidelberg Catechism, right? Are there a few paragraphs and that we would defer to a different understanding? Yes. Some of you, probably most of you, don't know this. There are sections on the Lord's Supper from the Belgic Confession that are in here that I regularly use in leading us in the Lord's Supper. They're rich. They're good. They're part of our common Christian heritage. Some churches, like our own, we've begun to recite scriptural confessions. So far, they've all been from the Bible. They've been Bible quotations. And we didn't do one today, but we'll come back to that. But it's right and proper to also say things like the Athanasian Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed. It's another way of saying, we believe your word, O God, and here is what you have taught us. It's a way of affirming what's been taught, for example, in the preached word. All right? And so all of those are found in the back. Now, at the far back, there are a number of ways of finding a hymn. Now, most of you go, I just know the hymns by their titles. I've heard that 1,000 times. You need to understand that most hymns never had a title. They weren't written with a title. Most of them were written as poems, as personal reflections, or even as hymns, but they were just known by their first line, by the first phrase, by some striking set of words out of it. But because that's so common in the English world, they've actually put those at the top of the hymns. And they've listed them in the back. So if you say, well, I want to know what number is Amazing Grace? Well, you can go to the back, and in alphabetical order, you can look up under A and find Amazing Grace. There it is, page 433 in this hymnal. So it's just an easy way of something, if you know the beginning of it or you know the name, of looking it up. If all you can remember is a phrase in the middle of the third paragraph, this particular title and first line isn't going to help you. There are some other helps we'll talk about in a minute. If you're one who is looking for a certain topic, perhaps you're fighting depression. Perhaps you would love to sing about assurance. Perhaps you have been reflecting on Christ as King. Well, there are a whole set of topics that you can look up and they will suggest certain hymns for you to consider. All right? So we're moving from the back in reverse order through our hymnal. Next, and this is really helpful sometimes to the preacher, oh, wait, I'm preaching on Revelation 3:20 today. Well, it's suggesting hymn 200. So you turn over to 200. Soul, adorn yourself with gladness. Sounds great. We don't know it. Not going to use that one, at least not on Sunday morning, right? We may find it to be useful and learn it together, but we're not going to sing it untried unless we know the tune really, really well. And then we will sometimes give it a go, especially if it's really on its mark for what the sermon's about. So you can look up certain psalms and any and every text that you might be using to see if there's something appropriate to sing in the hymnal. Now, continuing to move back, now it starts to get a little cryptic, and here is where I hope to help you. The next section is called meters. Meters, right? Every hymn has a meter. Almost all of them are consistent. That means that every verse uses the same meter. There are a few that are so well known and that usually grew up out of a folk tune that wasn't consistent, that are that don't follow that. But almost every hymn that we sing, verse 1 uses a certain meter, and so does verse 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. Right? Now, what's a meter? A meter is simply the count of syllables in a line or a verse. Right? So, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. 8. That saved a wretch like me. 6. I once was lost, but now am found. 8. Was blind, but now I see. The poetic meter is how many syllables. So if you find a hymn that you really, really like, and this happens to me with regularity, but we don't know the tune, well, maybe there's another tune that uses that same meter that we know. Now, that might strike you as really weird. Why would you sing that song, which was written and meant to be sung with that tune, to another tune? It was never written for that tune. It wasn't meant to be sung with that tune. In almost all cases, just historically, one of them happened to be the one that became most popular for those words. That's it. Right? Which is why you will often find a hymn like Amazing Grace. And you will see when it was written. And if you look over at the tune name and you see when that tune was written, it was written decades later. Well, how can that be? They sang it to another meter. How do you know how many meters or syllables? Well, you can do what I did. You can kind of do this. But if you're not musically inclined or you're really struggling because maybe it's a tough tune, here's a trick I was taught probably decades ago by some music teacher in high school or something. Put your hand right here. Oh, kids, you're going to find this fun. Yeah. Ben, Matthew, put your hand under here like this. Now, don't have it touch. Have it just underneath. Now, watch what happens when you say the words. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. However many times your chin touches your hand, that's the meter. That's how many syllables. That's the number you want. So you can go to this section of the hymnal and go, well, I'm looking for 8686. Wait a minute, there isn't an 8686. Well, that's because there are a couple of meters that are so popular, that are so widely used in poetry and hymnody, that they don't go by their numbers, they go by names. So you'll notice at the beginning of this part called meters, there's something called SM. Do you see that on page 995?
Page numbers, yeah.
995, SM. That's short meter, right? And all of those tunes would work for any song that's got, I think it's 6666, if I remember correctly, okay, for the meter. There's an SMD, that's short meter doubled. There's common meter, CM, common meter. In other words, most hymns and poems were written in this. Look at there, Amazing Grace. Well, if you're like me, if you don't really like the American tune that most of us sing Amazing Grace to, I find it hard to sing. I find it too high. I think it's great for bagpipes. I don't personally like the tune. Now, I'm not going to change it for our public meetings. Maybe. But you could pick any one of these others, and you could sing it to it. So we know Meditation. We know, do we know Dundee? Wow, do we know Dundee? You could sing Amazing Grace to Dundee. You'll notice Dundee is a very popular tune. It's used in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hymns. Back in the 16 and 1700s, and probably even, well, probably in some rural areas well into the 1800s, a congregation would only know one or two common meter, one or two short meter, one or two long meters, and they would sing every song to those. I mean, you would sing Dundee every week because the point wasn't the tune. The point wasn't the tune. It wasn't entertainment. It wasn't who sang the best. It wasn't the soprano in the back corner. It wasn't any of that. It was singing the truth of God to edify each other and glorify God. Okay? Which is why I really don't apologize for us singing Dundee frequently. At least, not too often. So that's how this works. Common meter, doubled, long meter. And again, we know some of these long meter tunes. Hamburg, we know Old Hundredth, we know Rockingham, Tallis, Truro. We sing Truro a lot. We sang it this morning, I think, right? So if you find something you want to sing, we just read this psalm, you're really enthused about it, and you've got your hymn book, and you go, I want to sing Psalm 68. I don't know either of those tunes. Go back here to the meter. Find the meter. Go back here. Find a tune you know and sing it. Right? I hope this is useful. Now, just like you can look up hymns by their title or first phrase, you can also look up tunes this way. And again, we're moving backwards through our hymnal. So you can look up the name of the tunes. There's some great named tunes. Right? Some of them make it very plain they came from Anglican England, right? There are all kinds of saint this and that names. There are place names. There are person names. There are tunes that begin with Genevan 101. Geneva 98. That's because in Geneva, John Calvin paid the greatest of the French musicians who fled to Geneva to escape persecution to write tunes for the singing of the Word of God. I've told you this before, but think about the grandeur of this. You're a French Huguenot, Protestant. You're running away. You're sick and tired of the Latin Mass. You don't understand any of it. The priests only sing. You never get to sing. You arrive in Geneva by the skin of your teeth. You enter St. Peter's, and there they are singing in your language, Old French, the Word of God. And they're singing it to tunes that you know because of your French background, or that you can begin to grasp because this all makes sense to you. No wonder that there are pages and pages of stories of people breaking down in joyful tears with that experience. Don't take it for granted that you are singing in your language the Word of God and the truths of God to each other and Him in worship. That's not often been the case in many places around the world. So those are two names, right? Then we have, well, you know, I really like Thomas Tallis's tune. I wonder if he's got some others in here. He does, and they are good. You might want to get to know those. We continue on. There are authors, translators, and sources of text. We sang a hymn this morning that was originally written in German. Well, praise God for Catherine Winkworth, I think her name was, who translated in her short life dozens and dozens and dozens of wonderful Lutheran and Reformed hymns out of German into English. They're great. Her name's in here. So is the Psalter. So is, there's Catherine Winkworth. There it is. Perhaps you like, as I do, Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf. Love his stuff. I really do. A leader of the Moravians in the 1700s. Friends with George Whitefield and a lot of other good Christian people. A couple of my top 10 hymns are by him. Well, if you find one you like, go to the back and go, maybe there's more. Here's a way to do that. All right? Or you could be really sectarian and you could decide that on Spurgeon's birthday, you're going to have a gathering and you're going to sing hymns, but only those written by Baptists. Well, you could go to this list and you could say, well, I recognize that that man is a Baptist and that woman is a Baptist, and you could sing Baptist hymns. You could, I'm being a little silly here on purpose, but there are many uses that you can make of these indexes, for those of you who are the uneducated. Make use of them. Improve your understanding, your appreciation, your knowledge of the hymnal so that you can worship God better. Then, of course, there is the obligatory, who owns some of these? Now, the vast majority of these are owned by no one. Praise God. And some modern hymn writers freely distribute them. But in other cases, people keep the rights to them. Those are listed here. That's it. All right? That's it. One more thing, and then we'll be done. This hymnal, because it's just a few years old, does have some mistakes in it. I've actually found two just in the last 2 weeks. One of them we sang this morning. There was a plural when it wasn't supposed to be plural. It was verse 5 of one of our selections. Sons of editors can't help themselves. It just happens. I'm so sorry. So undoubtedly there'll be other revisions. But one of the great things about this is you can get on your, as a phone app, this hymnal. Searchable. Press the button, play the music. And you can say, well, I don't know that tune, but I'd like to learn it. We'll just press it and tell it to repeat and just keep listening to that tune. And you've got the words in front of you and you can learn it. All right? It's less than $10, at least when I bought it.
$9.99,
there you go. Such a deal. Oy vey. Get it while it's hot. And if you order now, we'll send you. Yeah, get it. And sing to yourself. Learn. Familiarize. Let's get better at this. I understand that by most performance-oriented church standards, our praises are very poor. I don't believe for a second that God thinks that. And I really only care about his judgment. Amen. But it doesn't mean we can't improve, right? It would be good if we know more hymns, not less. It would be good if we knew newer ones. And there are some very new ones in here. There are other good hymns, both old and new, that aren't in here. We want to learn some of them as well, right? But having a fixed book with more than we'll ever be able to adequately use in this life is good. And so I would urge you to consider spending $9.99 on the hymnal and making use of that. All right?